Well, joining us now in the studio is Dr. Seth Moore. He's a wildlife biologist with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, and we speak with him regularly. Thanks for coming in, Seth.
Thanks, Kara. It's good to be here.
Well, back in January of 2012, Minnesota's wolves were taken off the federal endangered species list and put under state management. And it's been a controversial process. And now they've scheduled a wolf hunt and trapping season for November. Let's talk about what the tribes think about this and what the tribes' plans are for wolf management.
Sure. I can certainly speak for the position of the Grand Portage Band. I can't do quite as good a job of speaking for any of the other tribes in the region. But in Grand Portage, we actually aren't going to hold a wolf hunt or a trapping season at this point in time. And the primary reason for that is we just don't really have a strong constituency of folks that are interested in hunting and trapping them. And so it just seems, to be honest, a little bit pointless to develop a season just because we legally could do so. You know, the way I look at it from a biological standpoint is I could legally have a season on just about anything that's out there. I could have a season on red squirrels. I could have a season on shrews because they're not listed under the Endangered Species Act. So, you know, because the wolf is no longer listed under the Endangered Species Act doesn't necessarily mean that we need to have a hunting season on them and a harvest on the species. So for that reason, it doesn't look like we're going to have a hunting and trapping season at this point. If we do get a strong constituency of folks that are really interested in trapping or hunting wolves, we'll have those conversations at that point, and we'll discuss the issue with leadership and discuss how it could be done in a sustainable manner. But that's just not where we are at the moment. You know, a lot of the tribes in the Midwest consider the wolf to be a sacred animal and is one of the clans of the Ojibwa people. And so for that reason as well, a lot of tribal people and Indian people choose not to harvest wolves.
Mm-hmm. So as a means to manage the population, or do you not see a reason to manage the population?
You know, that's a really good question. There are ways to manage the wolf population without having a harvest on wolves. And, you know, to do that, we can do it passively by actually doing a better job at managing the deer population growth. You know, what has been found in the literature is wolf populations tend to track deer populations, certainly in this region. So the higher the deer population, the higher the wolf population. So we still may be able to manage the wolf population to some extent if we do a good job of managing the deer population. The other good thing about managing the deer population, maybe a little bit more intensively, is that also protects the moose herd to some extent. Deer are a major player in the moose issue for three different reasons. Those reasons are wolves, brainworm, and liver flukes. All three of those things are related to the deer population density, but all three also impact the moose population. Wow. So if we can control deer, we can control transmission of brainworms and liver fluke to moose, which are health-related issues that moose face, and then we can also reduce some of the predation on moose by having the wolf population trend downwards because the deer population trends downwards.
Mm-hmm. So we have too many deer, would you say?
That's a good question. You know, whether we have too many or not enough to some extent is a societal question. So from a biological perspective, I say, yeah, I think we have too many deer. We have numbers that are significantly higher than what this habitat would normally hold because of modifications that we've made to the landscape. But to really answer that question comes down to, do we have more deer than our society wants? And that may not be the case because we have disappointed hunters every year that didn't get a deer and wish the numbers were actually higher still.
That's a tough question then.
It is.
You know, what to manage for.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, my job is really to manage populations of species based on societal goals. And so I use my education to help guide decisions and to do these things in a sustainable manner. But if our population decides we really want moose at the exclusion of deer, then I have a job to really control the deer herd, really do everything that we can to benefit moose. Whereas if our population has a sort of a philosophy shift and would rather have high numbers of deer, that may cost the moose population as well.
Interesting. Well, we ranged a little bit away from wolves, but we can come on back to that.
Yeah.
Is recreational sport hunting and trapping the best way to manage the wolf population?
You know, that's a good question. And I think it can be an effective means. I mean, if you really want my very candid opinion, I have a feeling that a lot of people are going to put a great deal of effort into hunting and trapping wolves. And I think for the most part, those people are going to be very disappointed. And the way I look at it is just from a numbers standpoint. In northeastern Minnesota, we have a deer herd of 500,000 animals, and people struggle to shoot a deer in a 21-day hunting season. That same piece of land, there are 3,000 wolves. And so to be able to shoot a wolf deliberately while you're actually hunting for one, the odds are going to be very, very low for success. I mean, that's my own personal opinion. So a lot of times we see wolves on the roadsides, or we see wolves when we are in the woods looking for other things. But to go out and hunt for a wolf and try to find one, mm-hmm. is going to be a very challenging thing to do.
Well, then there's also trapping.
Yeah, and to be honest, I've trapped a lot of wolves on my job for our collaring studies, and wolf trapping isn't the easiest thing to do in the world either. And so there's a learning curve associated with that, and I think that trappers on average are also going to be disappointed. What I do think will happen is a few people will be very successful, and the bulk of the harvest will occur by a small proportion of the hunting and trapping population. But I think for the most part, I think the harvest is going to be lower than the state quota significantly, and I think most people are not going to have high success rates.
Well, once again, we've been talking with Dr. Seth Moore, Grand Portage wildlife biologist. We can't end without asking you for a piece of trivia from your daughter, Hannah. People have come to expect it and enjoy it. So do you have something from her today?
I sure do. And since we've been talking about wolves, which are in the dog family, I have to give a trivia piece about cats just to counter it. And what I learned about cats is that they cannot taste sweet things.
You know, every one of these pieces of trivia, you can't really fact check it.
Yeah, a lot of them are just off the wall things that
just gonna have to take her word for
it. My little girl finds, well, she finds them with legitimate sources, I can tell you that, but they're just off the wall pieces of trivia for sure.
Well, that's pretty cool. So doesn't matter what you feed your cat, they can't taste it if it's sweet.
That's exactly right.
So all right, well, thank you so much, Seth. We'll talk to you again soon.
Cool, thanks, Kara.